You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Still somewhat warm. Not like yesterday, though. That was fun yesterday. The sun was out. It was like 58. Yurko played golf.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know you did. Good for you, man. Good for you. It's Carmen and Yurko with you on a Football Friday. As we wrap the week, Yurko's got his Bear necessities. How the Bears going to beat the Cardinals, I'll tell you in 15 or so. At 11:33, we'll go to Vegas and talk to Todd Furman. Best plays for the college and pro weekend. Huge college games. I want to talk about that in a minute with you. As we have hit championship weekend, we'll know the final four for the playoff this weekend. And that's Sunday night, I think they do that, right, guys? Late Sunday?
No, is it Sunday night?
In the past, it's been like Sunday at 11 a.m., maybe 10 a.m.
Oh, is it that early?
Yeah.
I think it was Sunday night.
In the past, it's always, it kind of like interrupts like the right as you're getting ready for kickoff around noon.
Okay, for Sunday NFL. Okay, so we'll know Sunday then early. Maybe I'm thinking of like Selection Sunday. I'm getting my Sundays mixed up.
Yes.
Sorry about that. What else was I just going to tell you, Yurko? Oh, Waddle and Sylvie today are at Howard Street Inn.
Right.
And so go see the guys with Miller Lite today. Is that Skokie or Niles?
It's Niles.
Okay, sorry. That's in Niles. It's a good place. We've been there before.
Oh, hold on, Tom, real quickly. Yurko, did you see that play up there, the 43? Why didn't he try to tackle him?
I don't understand. I thought Aikman gave a great breakdown. So I don't want to get...
I would have to sidetrack us for a second. I had to see it again.
Merkin was watching the long Tony Pollard run.
Right.
Aikman, I thought, did a good job. He said the defensive back just misjudged how fast Tony Pollard is. He was kind of playing the angle, Yurk. That,
right.
At least in Aikman's opinion, you're the defensive guy. Maybe if you saw the whole thing, you'd agree or disagree. But he just got surprised by how fast Pollard was. And then he lost his angle.
Right.
And once he lost the angle,
he wasn't going to get him.
Yeah. I think, too, Pollard strategically, when he was in the open field before, he kind of slow played it. And he didn't sprint his fastest. And then you can see as the play unfolds.
He wanted to make sure he didn't cut back inside on him. And he had the sideline to protect him.
He tried to pin him.
And then all of a sudden,
Pollard exploded.
And at that point, it was too late. Yeah. And the safety had no chance.
He had it in third gear. And then when he had to, he went and pressed.
Pollard's good, man. It's like what Yurko and I always talk about with running backs. Like Zeke's terrific. They paid him. Which is silly. And Zeke's a terrific football player. I mean, he is. We all know that. But they paid him. Why? Tony Pollard's terrific. Yeah. I mean, I think people finally get it.
I think they do.
Yurko and I have been saying it for a decade.
I saw the articles that came out here in the last week with Derrick Henry injured, with McCaffrey injured.
Well, read the Barnwell tweet, Meller.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah, I'll get it.
Get the Barnwell tweet. I read you guys the Barnwell tweet from yesterday.
That prompted him to do a whole article about all the 8 or 9 running backs who have signed big money deals in the last three years.
You're toast, guys. Yurko and I have been telling you for a decade, and teams are finally starting to realize it. They don't draft running backs much in the first round anymore, unless they draft them late.
I realized it when I watched Denver.
I mean,
in the mid-90s.
That's 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
The Denver Broncos, I watched everybody they put back there. You can go ahead and take a look at it. When Terrell Davis got hurt, they put Mike Anderson back there. They put Alandis Gary back there. It didn't make a difference for them. They just kept running for 1,000 yards a season. And I said to myself, the only thing that can make somebody is a little bit different if he is absolutely unique. And Barry Sanders was unique.
Fine. I give you, right. He was unique. Barry Sanders, 100%. Walter Payton, Jim Brown.
No, you keep mentioning too many. I just told you Barry Sanders was unique.
You're getting too liberal?
That's not a shock. But no, there's one guy.
Just Barry? Nobody else, really?
And we talked about a five-yard average, over the course of a career.
Here, so from Barnwell, the big running back contracts, and he slated that as $12 million plus AAV.
Ooh.
Christian McCaffrey, done for the year. Derrick Henry, out indefinitely. Delvin Cook, out indefinitely. Alvin Kamara, out injured. Zeke, playing through injury. Aaron Jones, just back from injury. Nick Chubb, missed 2 games with injury, but playing well. Joe Mixon, very good.
Very good. Yeah, I would agree. I mean,
don't take the outlier in Joe Mixon and say, oh, the truth is Joe Mixon was banged up all last year. and missing like 8-9 games of the season.
And the truth is, you could probably find somebody to replace Joe Mixon if you're the Bengals, and they will. I mean, like, it's just, this is football now. It's the league's different. Yurko and I have for a better part of a decade. I think people are finally like coming around to our way of thinking. I don't know that a running back will ever be drafted in the top 10 again. I'm serious. I don't know.
Well, Saquon Barkley has certainly showed you that it's not worth it.
I suppose someone will come along, and I shouldn't say never again. People still fall in love.
There'll
be general
with
managers like Dave Gettleman that are still going to exist.
Yes.
And you know the other. I won't say what I want to say, but I guess there still will be certain guys that exist in the league. So I won't say never, but the days of drafting running backs anywhere in the top five, like, or 10 the days of paying running backs should be in the rear view. It's silly.
Yeah, you can, like, listen, like we saw it in Chicago when David Montgomery's contract runs out. The Bears should certainly just move on to Khalil Herbert.
Of course, yes.
Or whoever the other running back that they draft in the third or fourth or fifth round is going forward.
And that's the cold, hard reality.
Or pick up as a free agent.
Of that position. And I like David Montgomery a whole heck of a lot.
Exactly. It doesn't mean
to
like him.
Absolutely right.
Well, and the other thing is, once running backs get injured and start breaking down, they lose the ability that makes them so good. And that's why you want a younger running back who hasn't been beaten up.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate. It's use and abuse and move on.
The blueprint is out there. Yurko's probably right. Shanahan did it better than anybody. His son, we talked about it with Steve Mariucci earlier this week. If they're in a passing league, and we all love scoring and passing, somehow Kyle Shanahan makes the running game sexy. And he just does with the things that they do. Yurko diagrammed a few of the plays when they played the Bears.
Yeah.
And guess what Kyle Shanahan does? Any Joe Blow off the street goes into that offense and rushes for 100 yards in a game. Jeff Wilson. Who's the poor kid that can never stay healthy? Now, he's talented because he's so fast.
Raheem Mostert.
Elijah Mitchell now, the rookie. Debo Samuel. Well,
there's a wide receiver they put at running back. They got him hurt.
He'll find anybody that's talented. They've all got skill because all these guys do. They're all fast. They're strong. He'll find anybody who's talented, and they'll say, guess what? In my scheme, you're going to rush for $110. It doesn't matter.
Look at this guy. It doesn't matter.
Highland Park Kavanaugh.
I know. He's got his dog.
That's a market inefficiency is what he did with Debo Samuel this year. Because Debo Samuel was by far and away, when he was lining up in the backfield for the 49ers, the most explosive runner they had. That's what you need to do if you're a coach who's got like an elite wide receiver. Well,
how about not even an elite wide receiver? How about whatever the hell Arthur Smith has finally figured out
with
Cordarrelle Patterson? I mean, there are so many guys.
The Bears try to use him at running back, too.
Well, so did New England. And nobody's done it quite like Arthur Smith. That's the one thing they've done well. Go figure. I'll use the old cliche, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And if you're smart about it offensively, that's how you should view the running back position. Your schemes, your pre-snap motion, you know, good athletes that you could find at all levels of college football right now. That's where you should be going for your running backs. You should never draft them high. You should never pay them. I'm sorry for the running backs of the world. I'm sorry, but you should never ever pay a running back.
Is that I don't have third down backs. I've got a back that can play all three downs, but then I got three backs that can play that are very similar. And they'll each get a series. That's what they'll get. We'll have 10 series during the game. They'll each get three series. Somebody else will get the bonus series at the end. They got to be able to pick up blocks. They've got to be able to catch the ball. And they've got to be able to run. That's it. That's what I want all of them.
That's the Greg Roman philosophy. He did that 2 years ago with Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins. And they've had so many different guys. They were ready to do it this year again with Dobbins.
Everybody got hurt.
Gus Edwards. Yeah. But they've still. What did they do? They signed Latavius Murray.
Right.
Dante Freeman. Yeah. They had Le'Veon Bell for a few weeks, and they're like, he can't cut it, so they jettisoned him.
The crystal clear sign also is the Super Bowl champions. If you took a look at the Super Bowl champions, all the running backs that they've had, it's not a who's who of what's happening. The running back's not taking you to the promised land.
Not anymore.
Your quarterback is.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I don't know. I hope. I think the world is coming around to see. the game the way we see it, Yurko. Two wise sages.
Yeah, two wise sages.
I derailed you like for 10 minutes.
I don't care. That's okay. It's okay. A good rant.
You know? What did you want to bring up?
Well, I just was saying that Waddle and Sylvia are with Miller Lite at the Howard Street Inn in Niles today. Right. So you can go see the guys. Merck is going to go over there and say
hi. I see.
And he's got some copies of his book behind the glass.
Oh, is that what we're doing? Yeah. Schlepping books over there. Is that what we're doing?
Got to move merchandise, Yurko.
How's sales at? Cracked 1,000-yard mark
yet? No, I think, you know, it's tough to tell because when you sell online orders are at a certain level, but then you don't know exactly how many you've sold.
I hear we've got supply side problems. Is that what's happening?
No, not at all.
I got mine. I've had all three of the books I ordered. I have.
How's shipping? How's shipping?
Shipping's good. There's always a fly in the ointment that, you know, not everything goes out. But
are any of these books stuck in the Long Beach Harbor?
That's what we want to know.
They're not. Are we sure?
I think we're a third of the way there right now to our goal.
How about that? Come on, folks. We got to get Merck over 1,000.
These are great stocking stuffers.
I got them for my brothers for stocking stuffers.
What is this, the seventh day of Hanukkah?
Sylvie's getting them out for Hanukkah.
Sixth day, I think.
Sixth day? It's the sixth day of Hanukkah?
You guys,
did you see the disappointment in the eyes of Sylvie's children when they received that book?
I did.
But you know what? That disappointment turned to joy. Once they started reading that book.
Right.
You believe that?
That's right.
Happy Chanukah.
That's the best thing they got.
Chanukah.
Besides the gelt.
I'm telling you,
when you give a gift of book, right? When you give the gift of the book, you got to throw some chocolate candy in there.
That's true.
You got to throw the candy in there. That way you can turn the frown upside down and make it a smile.
Yes. That's a good call.
Yes.
Put a little chocolate in there. Then when they start reading, then the natural entertainment of your wall. HBK's looking for copies of the book right now.
Yeah. Highland Park Kevin will buy a few copies.
Highland Park Kevin's out there with his dog. It needs to go to the toilet on something, so they're hoping to buy a copy.
I can go get some right now.
Yurko, real nice, this guy.
He doesn't have a poop bag. Can he have one of Merkin's books?
Can you believe this guy?
He was making fun of the book. Okay, that's good. Yeah.
We want everybody to buy Merck's book because we want him to get over 1,000. We want to break the Eckhart Press record. So come on, folks. We're a third of the way there. We got 66.7%
of the way to go. BehindTheGlassTheBook.com.
There you go. And Merck will be at the Howard Street Inn later today with Waddle and Sylvia as they broadcast live. And then Bleck and Abdallah are out tomorrow for the college football show. I think they're in my neck of the neighbor. Are they at Twin Peaks in Oakbrook Terrace tomorrow?
They are, yes.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
So Bleck and Abdallah are out tomorrow in Oakbrook Terrace at Twin Peaks. And then
Jeff and Deanna are out
Meller
Sunday.
And Dion have the Bears pregame show starting at 10 a.m. from the Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse, the Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne. So we got a full weekend where you can go out and see the shows Northwest. Very, very good. And then I think Yurko and I have another Twin Peaks football Friday next Friday. I'll give you a official
next Friday
on that. I believe
Can't wait.
Yes.
Where we'll be? Oakbrook Terrace? We'll be back out in Warrenville.
I don't know. I have to double check that actually, Yurko. Let me double check before
Why don't you double check
word.
It?
Yurko is going over the finer points of his bear necessities. He's put in a lot of hard work for the week, folks. He's going to tell you how the Bears are going to beat the Cardinals coming up next.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Hope you're having a wonderful Friday. It's Carmen and Yurko. Todd Furman in about 15 minutes. Go around the games for the weekend. Talk lines. He's back in Las Vegas. He joined us last week when he was in Arizona. Phoenix, seeing the folks for Thanksgiving. So we'll get the update from Todd coming up. Get some picks. Mike Nolan's got the bonus play at 11:48. It's time for Yurko's Bear Necessities.
It's time once again to find out how the
Bears
secure a victory this week.
The Bears.
As the Carmen and Yurko Show presents.
Well, that's just great.
The Bear Necessities.
You hear that, Ed? Bears. Now you're putting the whole station in jeopardy.
Look for the Bear Necessities, the simple Bear Necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife.
It is time for the Bear Necessities, brought to you by Powering Chicago. And good kid, it's the Bears and the Cardinals in week 13. I ask you, my friend, what are the Bear Necessities?
Carm, I'm glad you asked. And these are going to be the keys or the Bear Necessities to how the Bears achieve victory on the lakefront against the Arizona Cardinals. Key number one. They've got to be top of the top. When I say top of the top, I mean time of possession. That's right. Time of possession. they've got to be able to control the ball and keep the ball to Kyler Murray in that offense's hands. Mm. So, time of possession. They've been able to do it this year. Control the clock, but find ways to still lose the game.
Yeah.
I need them to control the time of possession and also to what, Carm? Win the game. Let's win the game. Key number two. I've seen shades of life. I've seen a hint. Like when Dr. Frankenstein was trying to get Frankenstein alive and you'd see a little bit of movement, but there was nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
I see some signs of life with the special teams that are the Frankenstein of the NFL right now.
Yeah.
We need some special teams contributions. I'm not talking about made field goals. I'm talking about blocks, block punt, block field goal, return something for a touchdown. It's going to have to be quirky to beat the Arizona Cardinals this weekend. It'll be quirky, but it will be good. Special teams. Key number three. Key number three. Cole Kmet.
Yeah, and he was limited yesterday, so that's good. Trending in the right direction.
If he's trending in the right direction, he can play. He could be a difference maker in this game. I think he received
a lot of targets.
Yeah. Let's get those into catches. Tight end in this offense usually is a very productive position. I would love to see Cole Kmet have himself a big game, and I know he's going to be back 100% healthy and ready to rock. Key number four.
Wow, four-pack today.
You've got to do it differently with a defense that's missing four starters, right? You've got to do it a little bit differently. But the one guy that's been key this year that looks like he's refreshed and renewed and is not the bust that we all thought he was is Robert Quinn,
mm-hmm.
right? Robert Quinn, to continue the success he's had coming off the corner, making the rest of his teammates that much better. Key number five. Dare I say we need some interceptions. We saw four of them last night for the Dallas Cowboys against Taysom Hill, right?
Yeah.
Dare I say we need a multiple interception game from our defense? Dare I say it? Darn it, I will say it. I'll say it right now.
Say it.
We need multiple interceptions.
Preach.
I don't care if the ball is tipped, if a defensive lineman has thrown the ball in his hands. Catch the damn thing and run. Okay? That's what I'm looking for, a multiple interception game. And those are the keys to a Bears victory over the Arizona Cardinals on the lakefront this Sunday.
Okay, look at that. Brought to you by Powering Chicago. Do you know
sat here for 2 hours trying to get five that I thought were very important.
Very good. You did a lot of hard work. Do you know that in the rivalry over the last four games, the road team has won? You know, the Bears have won the last couple times they've gone out to Arizona. The Cardinals have won the last couple times they've come here. This is the 94th all-time meeting because, of course, the Cardinals are one of the original franchises with the Bears. Having started in that inaugural season as the Chicago Cardinals, they played every year from that inaugural season until 1959 when the Cardinals up and left for St. Louis. So long history between these two.
They'll always be the Chicago Cardinals to me.
Always. Even though they left in 1959.
My grandfather actually used to tell me all about them, though, all the time. I would sit in
my grandfather, my dad said, who grew up here, same thing. I mean, they remember when,
We'd sit around, it was, mid, late 80s. We'd sit around the dinner table, my mom, me, and my grandfather, and he would tell me stories about how there used to be two football teams in Chicago.
Yeah. But back then, football was different.
Baseball was the...
Because baseball, yeah. Like, my grandfather, he liked football because he was a gambler, and so he bet on football.
Right.
And so he liked it, but I don't know that he ever, loved the Bears. Like, my grandpa loved the Cubs. That's what, because it was baseball. There was really...
Baseball was king back then.
For those guys that grew up then, you're talking about someone born in 1921. Baseball was it. It was, but...
Baseball and horse racing and boxing.
He loved horse racing,
and boxing.
My uncle, one of his brothers, really loved
it. I saw Man of War.
Yeah, but, it was all... I'm with Miller, same thing. The old guys all loved baseball. My grandpa watched football his whole life just because he liked to... He was a gambler, and he'd bet it, but... I don't think he ever really.
Did your grandpa run numbers?
He never ran numbers. I mean, he'd call.
He collect?
Was he a pickup guy?
No.
12-year-old running the streets of Brooklyn.
Did he have a racquetball? Did he have a racquetball in his hand? Did he bounce it?
No.
And did he have a hat on?
No.
Did he have to break thumbs, Clark?
No.
Was he a thumb breaker?
I'm insulting him because he's Italian.
I'm not insulting him because he's Italian.
Asking the questions, the logical questions.
But Rocky Balboa is Rocky Balboa. He is who he is.
No, he never did any of that. He never. You know, he played cards. He was just, that's kind of what he did. He was a card player. He played cards. He played poker like five nights a week, even when he was into his 70s.
Love it.
At the Italian American Club in Berwyn. He'd go and play cards.
What are you doing now? You're insulting the Italian American Club.
That's where he'd go and play.
I mean, what are you doing now? You're painting with a broad brush.
My mom used to get mad because, so this is my dad's dad. And like, they'd come over on a Sunday. My grandpa, you know, you got to remember, this is the 80s and 90s.
So he played poker. Did he ever play briscola?
No. He'd pick up the phone at my, you know, no cell phones. He'd pick up the phone at my parents' house, and it'd be Sunday, and it'd be before noon kickoff, and he'd have the paper with him, and he'd have the lines, and he'd call his bookie. And my mom used to get mad. Like, he's calling the bookie, and what if somebody's listening? I'm like, somebody listening?
What did the
FBI cares Grandpa's betting $50 a game on that?
When Grandma was complaining, what did Grandpa say?
Well, she complained more to my dad.
With what you know.
Yeah, she complained more to my dad.
Oh, okay.
You think your grandma didn't know a thing or two about a wiretap? She knew.
I'm like, who do you think's listening?
That's back in the day where they literally had to go to court and say, hey, this is why we want to listen. Now they just listen.
Yeah, now they just listen.
Have you never seen Godfather 2? Do you not know how it goes?
They didn't listen to the guy making a three-team parlay on the Bears, the Lions,
use him to flip someone else to get the bigger fish.
It was hilarious. He'd get all mad. And my grandpa, he'd sit there with the paper. You know, that's how they used to get it.
He didn't make the bets in the deli, I hope, because, you know.
No, he didn't make the bets.
Most of the times, that's where the FBI concentrates, the delis.
The deli, like in a casino.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Who would imagine that they got a wire in some grocery store in Kansas City? Freaking hilarious. All right, where were we talking
about? Chicago Cardinals. Cardinals Bears rivalry.
How great the Cardinals were. It's the same way with the Brooklyn Dodgers out there when the Giants left, you know?
Yeah.
I can't believe they left. Ebbets Field.
Same thing.
It was fantastic.
It's the most memorable game, though, of the Monday night game.
Yeah, absolutely. For all of us, of course.
Yeah, I was at Denny Green. I remember
Denny
where
Green,
I was at. I was doing an appearance.
Yeah.
At Bar Louie in Hyde Park. That's where I was at.
How about that?
Yeah.
It was Monday night. It was the famous, you know, the Bears are who we thought they were, and That's easy.
And we let them off the hook.
And he's right.
Yeah.
I mean, they smoked the Bears in that first half.
Do you remember the preseason?
Yes, I do.
Arizona had beaten them in the preseason. Yes. I was at that game.
And that's why Denny was so mad, because it was the third preseason
game.
The
Miller Lite party deck. Everybody was playing. They dismantled the Bears, and it looked like they were going to do the same thing to them.
College this weekend. Do you think chaos ensues?
The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
It's a coach that is so frustrated that his team blew a halftime lead at home on Monday night that has to go and answer questions. And it was just like this. You could see Denny Green getting madder, angrier. Until that moment when
it was a Hester touchdown.
That was it.
And the defensive
Erlacher touchdown.
Did Peanut punch it out and Erlacher scooped?
I think so.
And recovered?
Yes.
But there was another defensive touchdown.
Did Mike Brown have a touchdown?
Yes.
I thought he did.
I don't think they scored an offensive touchdown to win that game in the comeback fashion.
And so Denny Green finally lost it. He bangs the podium. We let him off the hook.
Bang the drum slowly.
And he famously walked. Off.
That was great.
All right, we'll talk about some of the college games and some of the best pro games with Todd Furman live in Vegas when we come back next.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, baby, let's do it. One of my favorite segments of the week during the football season, because we get to talk to Todd Furman and pick his brain out in Vegas. One of the best handicappers around. You see him everywhere. Make sure you check out his podcast each and every week. Three per week during the football season. It is incredibly insightful. The Bet the Board podcast with Todd and Payne Insider. Wherever you get your pods, follow Todd on Twitter. He is at Todd Furman. And he joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000 and ESPN and the ESPN Chicago app on the Corona Hotline. Todd, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well this morning, gentlemen. How are you boys doing?
Everything's good. We're getting ready for Bears-Cardinals. The Bears, obviously, with some extra rest, having played on Thanksgiving, but doesn't really matter. More rest for Arizona as they're coming off the bye. The Bears' next opponent also will be coming off a bye, so they can't really catch a break. But it is sort of a bad timing when you have to play Arizona, and it looks like Kyler and DeAndre will be back coming off the bye. Is that right?
For sure. They're definitely trending that way. You think the extra rest will have the Cardinals poised for a little bit of a run, not only obviously to the playoffs and the division title, but maybe for that number one overall spot in the NFC. But when you look at the dynamics in play here, I'm a little bit skeptical what Arizona looks like right out of the gates. We've seen some of these teams off a bye rather lethargic early on in games. Then you throw in the rust element. If the Bears are going to be competitive, I know it's an undermanned defense at this point. I think that's where they're going to have to be able to make their hay. I like the game under the total a bit in the first half. I think the Bears can run the football. Arizona will be rusty, and you're going to see an ugly football game, at least for the first 30 minutes.
And there is some rain in the forecast. So rain on the Soldier Field turf. That means a slow, sloppy, muddy track.
Sloppy.
I think there is nothing wrong with that when you're going up against some of the speed in the receiving corps for the Arizona Cardinals, that's for sure.
If there's one advantage they could get, maybe it's there. All right, we'll come back to the NFL because it's such a big college weekend, obviously, with the championship weekend. I want to start with tonight's game in Vegas. So Utah loses the great home field advantage that it has. 2 weeks ago tonight, I think it was, they were smoking the Ducks right out of the building. It's about a field goal favorite there, a 2.5 point favorite tonight. The Ducks have been great in this spot in the Pac-12 championship game. Do they exact revenge tonight, Todd?
Yeah, pretty dominant performance, as you mentioned, at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Utah kind of overwhelmed Oregon right from the opening kickoff. They had a dagger kick return before the half that put that game to bed if Oregon was ever going to mount a comeback. And when you dig into some of the numbers, it was the worst rushing performance for this Oregon offense all season long. Just 63 yards. Anthony Brown struggled immensely to get anything going in the vertical passing game. But you look at some of the underlying metrics and you wonder how sustainable they are for the Utes in running this matchup back a few weeks later. They were 11 of 14 on third down compared to Oregon, 6 of 14. I mean, Oregon scored just 1 point per scoring trip into the opposing 40-yard line or deeper. Utah was pretty efficient at more than 5 points per trip. So if those, some of those numbers normalize here, I think we're talking about a game that's a little tighter to the vest. I know the under is taking money from 60 down to 57.5. I lean that way. And if you're forcing my feet to the fire for a side, I think there's a little bit of value on Oregon. But Utah has said all the right things to their credit. They've never gotten to the Rose Bowl. They want this Pac-12 championship. And you wonder if Oregon's true performance was last week in the Civil War getting revenge against Oregon State. Let's see what we get here. But lean Oregon and lean under tonight.
All right, I like it. How about Big Ten title game? It is Iowa and Michigan. Don't ask me how Iowa won that game last week. If it weren't the Huskers, they probably would have lost. Looking at about an 11-point spread. When Iowa is on offense, I put gone with the wind on. I'll watch just about anything other than that Iowa offense. I'm sorry, Hawkeye fans. It's just god-awful. I know Petrus is coming back. Does that matter? Does it help them? And will they keep it close? Like, how much of a letdown should we expect for Michigan after such a big win against Ohio State?
I mean, you're not wowed by Brian Ferentz's offense that averages less than 300 yards a game, a group from a yards per play standpoint that's outside the top 100, and you know when it's 2nd and 8 or 2nd and 9, they're going to run the ball right into the line of scrimmage, setting up a 3rd and long situation for Spencer Petras this weekend.
Todd, I said it. I told Mike when we taped the Odds Couple this morning, Northwestern averages more yards per play. Northwestern! I mean, my God. So I don't want to hear it from the Iowa fans. I can't believe the way you're talking about Iowa.
Trust me, I've heard it all season long, and obviously growing up in the Chicago suburbs, my friends that didn't go to Illinois or some of the other Big Ten schools, there's a nice little pipeline to Iowa City, and they're crowing about how good this team is and how opportunistic. But you know what this Iowa team is right now in 2021? It was that elite Bears team where the offense didn't have to do a lot because the defense created short fields and it masked a lot of their deficiencies. So you never knew what you were going to get from a game-to-game standpoint. But when you look at the Hawkeyes, they're plus 13 in turnovers this year. They have 6 non-offensive touchdowns. They have the best starting field position of any team in the Big Ten at their own 36-yard line, which is absolutely unheard of. So if they're able to get a blocked punt or a turnover, hey, they have a great chance to be in this game. If they're not, I think Michigan's offense doesn't get enough credit for how dynamic they've been in some of the playmakers. But the letdown factor for me will keep me off Michigan. Lean ever so slightly towards Iowa, but it wouldn't shock me, honestly, guys, if we were talking about this game being 28-10 or Iowa finding a way to luck box a backdoor cover somewhere in this.
While all these power conferences obviously have these games in these big venues and neutral fields, Cincinnati gets the benefit of playing at home where they have an unbelievable home record. I think the Bearcats have won 26 straight. I hope I have that right. In that building, they're laying 10.5. Do they need style points, or is a win in their end good enough? And how do you think Cincinnati and Houston goes tomorrow?
I think Cincinnati has done enough, given everything that we've seen as far as chaos and carnage throughout the rest of college football. Win and you're in my opinion, barring some ridiculous set of circumstances. Maybe an Alabama upset of Georgia and then Oklahoma State dominating Baylor keeps them on the outside looking in. But if a Group of Five team can't make it this year, I'm not sure they'll ever get a seat at the table with some of the big boys. And you look at Cincinnati, they went through that late season malaise, having to outlast Tulsa, looking pretty lethargic in wins against South Florida as well. But the defense was as dominant as ever the last 2 weeks. They completely clamped down against SMU. We saw them run it back in hostile territory against East Carolina last Friday. And I think that's more of the same of what we're going to see here against Dana Holgorsen's offense. When you look at Clayton Tune, he has one elite playmaker in his receiving core in Nathaniel Dell. I think Sauce Gardner will travel with him from start to finish. I mean, one of the more incredible stats in all of college football. That's Gardner amazing. Has never allowed a touchdown pass in coverage during his entire time wearing a Bearcats jersey.
That's amazing.
I think since Cincinnati can do enough on the offensive side, and a lot of public clamoring for the underdog here, I think Cincinnati does it all with defense. I like the favorite here. I would have made a case for the under, but this total is down from 55 on the opening down to 52, and we actually broke this game down from a total perspective on the Bet the Board podcast as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Bama, Georgia, real quick on that one, then we'll go back to the NFL. Bama has not been an underdog since October of 2015. That is remarkable. I don't even know the last time they were an underdog of nearly a touchdown. They were like a 2-point underdog in that game at Georgia, and Georgia got destroyed. They whooped up on Georgia. What happens in the SEC title game?
You know, I was looking at some of the data as far as Alabama being an underdog of this magnitude. I believe you have to go back to the SEC championship when they played against Tim Tebow. Oh. So it kind of puts things in a historical perspective there. Alabama, hey, I'm not going to take anything away from what they've been able to accomplish defensively this year. I think this unit is still a step down from some of those elite groups we've seen in the past. But offensively, there are some major concerns along that offensive line. And if Georgia's able to play downhill, it's not going to bode well knowing how depleted Alabama is at the running back spot. But you do worry about desperation. Georgia knows they're into the college football playoff. Alabama playing for their postseason lives. Will that be enough to get me to back the Tide? Absolutely not. I lean under the total here, but it's a number that I think is extremely fair, given you could have laid 3 with Georgia about 2.5, 3 weeks ago, but market perception has caught up amid some of Alabama's late-season struggles.
Todd Furman's our guest live in Vegas. Check out his podcast, the Bet the Board podcast. Follow him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Sunday Night Football in the NFL is the Broncos visiting the Chiefs. Look, the Chiefs are automatic. Well, Andy Reid's been automatic, at least from a straight-up standpoint, coming off the bye in his career, 19-3 straight up. I want to ask you, handicapping when you get into these not only division games when there's a great familiarity, Todd, but also amongst the coaching staffs. For years in Philadelphia when Pat Shurmur was getting going, I think about 10 seasons, he worked under Andy Reid. He's now on the other sideline calling plays, obviously, for Vic Fangio. But when you have that kind of familiarity and it's a division game, how does that factor into the handicap?
You know, for me, it usually creates lower scoring football games, and I think that's a big reason we've seen this total trend from 49.5 at the peak of the market now down to 47. And when you talk about key numbers in the high 40s, 48 is kind of the cutoff. So if you're looking to go under at 47, you're kind of doing a disservice to yourself at this point. You mentioned Andy Reid, 19-3 straight up, 14-7-1 against the spread in his career following a bye week. And I think Spags will have some unique things dialed up for Kansas City defensively against the Denver offense that wants to run the football with Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. We know Teddy Bridgewater far from 100%, but there's also been an appetite for Denver money for that level of familiarity you talked about. The 10.5 long gone in the market. Some of the sharpest shops out here in the desert now trading this game with Kansas City -9. Mm. And while trends are always great fodder for discussion, not how you should base an investment, it is fascinating, and I think it's worth bringing up as it pertains to Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, yeah.
42-19 against the spread in his career. On the road, 24-5 against the spread as a road underdog, 19-3, and a much smaller sample size. He's undefeated as a dog of 8-plus points, 5-0 against the spread. But it's all about Vic Fangio's defense and their ability to slow down the Chiefs.
Absolutely crazy. All right, give us a few best bets for the weekend, buddy.
You know, relatively lean slate as we wind things down with college, but we'll go to the most meaningless game on the college football board. It's not the best of the number, so I think it's dead right or dead wrong. We're going right back to the well with Cal here. We'll lay the 4.5. All accounts out of Southern Cal are that USC players are checked out. The coaches are interviewing for other jobs. I think this is a Cal team that wants to beat up on its big brother if they can with a senior quarterback. So I'll lay the 4.5 there. And when you look in the National Football League, gave out one best bet on our Bet the Board podcast, so want people to go listen to that one there. But if you're looking for another investment opportunity, the Ravens and Steelers, it's a little bit of a sneaky total. I'm going to go over 44. I think Baltimore has their get-right game here. This is a Steelers defense that's nowhere close to elite right now. And without T.J. Watt, it's only going to get worse. So I'll go over 44 and hope Mother Nature holds out of the forecast for it.
Excellent stuff. Todd, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Always a pleasure, gents. You guys do the same.
Thanks, pal. There's Todd Furman, at Todd Furman on Twitter and the Bet the Board podcast. Check out the podcast for some of the best plays. He gave you that Sauce Gardner stat. I mentioned that with Hoodie and Cap during Best Trends, the corner for the Bearcats, who in all likelihood will be a first-round pick. So they do have a first-round talent on that defense. I know it's not Power 5. He's not playing receivers in the SEC, right? I get all that. But that is a remarkable statistic, Yurko. He started ever since he was a true freshman. He's a junior now. 3 years worth of games, he has never given up a touchdown in coverage. Never in 3 years. Pro Football Focus, as his in their grade on him right now and just in their notes on him, has him allowing 96 yards in coverage all season. They've played 12 games. He's given up 96 yards. Like, he is remarkable. And some of
that's 8 yards a game.
And it's incredible. Like, some of that's got to be, I get that the level of competition is different, but he will be, like I said, in all likelihood, a first-round pick come next April. I mean, it is just...
It's going to be a heavy defensive draft early.
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a heavy deal because a lot of the teams that are lousy again picked their quarterbacks up in the last 2 years.
That's true, yeah. And I don't think there are a ton of great quarterbacks. I know Pickett's, like, gone up the boards big time because of the season he's had. I think Matt Corral obviously gets drafted in the first round. I think Pickett will, too. I don't know that there's many more outside of that that are going to be first-round picks.
I think you're looking at two.
So,
and not until, like, the seventh pick, they're saying. Or, yeah, you know,
very interesting.
Sixth to eighth pick.
Mike North has the bonus play for us coming up next. This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Chicago's Big Ten team, Coach Collins and the Cats host DePaul, Illinois, Purdue, and more at Welsh Ryan this winter. Buy your tickets now at nusports.com.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
He did it again last week. Mike North hit it. I was watching that game Saturday night as LSU finished off the Ed Orgeron era with a victory.
Victory!
And now the Brian Kelly era begins and the strange Southern accent that Brian Kelly has suddenly developed. But Mike hit it again last week. He hit the week before that. That's all he does. Gives out winners in the bonus play. He's at North to North. We will have Odds Couple on the air tonight. The podcast is going to be up later this afternoon on the ESPN Chicago app. We'll be on after the Pac-12 title game tonight and then the encore replay tomorrow morning at 8. Mikey, what's up, buddy? What's the bonus play for the day?
I'll tell you what, I don't like people that are phonies. Just being honest about
it,
all right?
Thank you, yeah, I appreciate
you and,
it.
You and John.
Mm-hmm. By the way, it's great to be on again.
So much better.
Ignored. Eddie O.
So much better.
Go Irish.
it's something, guys, the way we've been winning. I brought it out on Twitter. I mean, it's Christmas every Friday.
That's right.
At 11:48, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. People have new appliances. You want that new washer and dryer. Maybe the money you dropped at the casino you made up by listening to AM1000. Carmen, you're coming. You got Todd Furman right beforehand, too. So that's double trouble, ladies and gentlemen, for the man. But I tell you, in all my years, I mean, I've picked them small colleges with Carmen York, folks, and it doesn't change. I don't know where Appalachian State is. I think it's in the mountains somewhere.
My guess, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that crossbow hunting is big. There's no doubt where this place is. I don't know if I had a scholarship offer there, which would be possible considering my educational background, but considering Appalachian State, I might have a shot. But I do know this. I would never take this game on my own, but they're playing Louisiana, Lafayette, and they're giving 3 points. And I did some background check on these guys, and they're 10-2, 7-1 overall. Their head coach is Sean Clark, who's 20-5 overall, but they have a fierce rivalry with this game. Mm-hmm. Their quarterback's name is Jace Bryce. He's supposed to be a stud. So I think that Appalachian State is the pick here, folks, at -3. I also want to say, Carm, that since we did the taping of the podcast,
yep.
We're going to be on later tonight, but we hadn't heard about the Danny Jones news.
Right. So we had mentioned Glennon was taking some reps. Right. We thought Danny Dimes was trending in a good place, but that news is out now. He's not playing, right?
Right. Yeah. And here's another thing. When we did the podcast this morning, guys, I already had information about Alabama. I know that each school from whatever conference gets $6 million,
mm-hmm.
and then an extra $4 million, and plus everything else that goes along with it. So it's $6 million for Georgia. If Alabama wins this game, or you know, basically wins the game, they get another $6
million.
They're
both for that in. Conference.
Yep. Alabama right now. Overwhelmingly is the pick for me.
Got
if
it.
I have to make it.
Little little extra bonus. Bonus. I love it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I should make it a pick. I'll see if I win or lose.
Okay, but, there you go. We'll let the board decide.
We'll let the board decide at the commission. I'll have Yerk as a witness there.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm very strong on Alabama here.
Sounds good.
Saban getting 6.5 as a couple hours ago, I didn't have even more information on this game. It's pretty strong. These are the two strongest games that I came up with for the weekend in the championship.
And App State on the road, laying the 3. That's the other one. That is the Sun Belt Championship and revenge game for App State. They're only, I think, they might have 2 losses this year, but one of them was certainly, I think, head-to-head in that rivalry with Louisiana. So
and take a look at Oregon, and we talked about Oregon today, about the overwhelming loss they had, and now they're only getting 3.
Sounds good, Mike. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, guys, take
care. There's Mike North, that North to North. Thanks for listening, calling, and participating today, and thanks to Mike North, Todd Furman, for joining us, and great work, as always, by Midway Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss, and Randy Merkin. Greeny is next, then it's Waddle and Sylvie live at the Howard Street Inn with Miller Lite wrapping the week for a Football Friday, so if you're up north, go see the guys, and then Black and Abdallah after that. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday, and who's got the final words? Colonel Angus Clan?
Brian Kelly and his family.
Brian Kelly and his
Carmen
family.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Well, my dear, don't believe everything you hear about old Colonel Angus. Colonel Angus might be rough. Colonel Angus might not smell like a bed of roses, but... But deep down, Colonel Angus is very sweet.
Well, we hope you'll spend the night with us.
Well, thank you, Miss Annabelle. And if I overstay my welcome, just tap me on the head.
That was The Final Word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.